Hi, friends. Before we begin today's program, a quick note on this year's Summer Challenge. As you probably know, summer is usually the time of year with the lowest average giving for ministries. And unfortunately, that's true of Compassion Radio as well. Yet our operating expenses remain consistent throughout the year, even as we rightly celebrate 75 years of amazing ministry and partnership with you. We're facing a budget deficit that we simply can't ignore. So I'll ask you, can I count on you to make sure that Compassion Radio continues this year and in the years to come? We really need you to stand with us right now and to do it this month, this week, and yes, even today. Thank you so much for all you do to help us reach out to the world through great partnership projects and to bring you the inspiring news of these projects each and every day. Bless you, friends, and thank you in advance so much.
Today on Compassion Radio.
They're building a village of hope, which will allow those kids the opportunity to grow up in a small family situation where a Christian family will take in up to six kids and live in a house on the property. And then they also will have school care, you know, church, and all of those types of things there on the village so that those kids can grow up in a safe environment. You know, they say it takes a village to raise a child. So that's what they're trying to accomplish with the Village of Hope.
And once again, welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This is your host, Frank Montenegro, and I'm so glad you're with us today. You know, for the last couple of days, our own Cher Nelson has been speaking with Shirley Smith, a woman who, along with her husband, adopted a baby through our ministry partners, Door of Hope. Now, throughout the interview, Shirley spoke of her little daughter, Georgina, and the experiences they had with her as they adopted her and raised her as their own. What a great conversation. Today, we get to meet Georgina. And she has got a lot to say, so stay with us. Right now, here's Cher to get things started.
Hi, friends. 18 years ago, Norm and I were in South Africa to investigate a ministry we had been referred to by a listener in Indonesia. That ministry was the Door of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa, an abandoned baby rescue project. Many of you have been a part of that project with us. One of the very first little girls into the Door of Hope was surrendered by her mother who couldn't care for her, but she wanted her to have a chance in life. Georgina showed deep signs of emotional neglect. She was fearful and distrusting, but she had in her eyes a plea for help. We were captured by her demeanor, but also by her care of the little babies. Even though she was less than a year old, she was loving on them like they were her own. She was a little earth mother. All these years later, today we bring you an interview with Georgina to let her tell you her story of rescue through adoption and the value she sees in continuing to rescue the throwaway babies through the Door of Hope. Georgina, how fun to have you on the program. I've told our listeners what a tiny little thing you were the last time I saw you, what a shy and hesitant and cautious little girl you were. And I've watched you grow by virtue of good old Facebook and email and blossom into this absolutely beautiful, smiling, confident, talented, amazing young woman that you are now.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you for becoming what you have. And I just want our listeners to be able to hear your experience so far in life and have a sense of what you've become.
Yes.
You were so young when you left Door of Hope that you don't really have specific memories of it. I think memories from pictures and stories have been implanted enough that you feel like you remember it. But tell us a little bit about your life story. What do you first remember? Was it anything about South Africa, or are your first memories here in the United States after being adopted by this wonderful family?
I wish I had more memories from South Africa, but I think that all the memories that I think that I have just come from my parents and those who knew me when I was a baby.
Sure.
I would say the first real memories are first and second grade when I was in school and I was the only little girl with an accent.
That South African accent is sort of British and sort of not, but it's so charming.
Yeah, I wish I still had it. But back in the day, I wanted to be like all the other kids, so I tried my hardest.
I think you succeeded quite well. You sound very American now. What was it like? Was it different to you to be an adopted child from another country or just being an adopted child?
I don't think it was ever really different. My parents have loved me since before they were even my parents, since we first met. And I never felt any different than those children whose parents were their biological parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you experience any discrimination being Black South African in the South?
No, you know, my parents are white and they always carried me with confidence. And, you know, if anyone ever questioned the fact that they had a Black child, you know, my mom and I like to joke with cashiers and things like that. Like, don't we look alike? So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad that that was a good experience. That's good for people to hear that are considering interracial adoptions, that for you with your family and the way they handled it, it was a positive experience for you.
Yes, ma'am. 100%.
Wonderful. Now, you have turned out to be quite the prodigy. And I wonder if you tell us a little bit of your story from what began your journey into a specific field and how it has progressed, the things that your family did for you to develop the specific talent that you have.
My mom and dad, they tell me that on road trips back and forth, wherever we would go when I was a baby, I would just be singing my little vacation Bible school songs up and back and on a loop, basically. So I've always had a passion for music since before I could even talk. So they put me in the Virginia Children's Chorus, and I was in the Virginia Children's Chorus for 12 years.
Wow.
Through them, I was able to perform in France and England and all over the United States. And I'm now studying jazz vocal performance at East Carolina University.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you've had some incredible experiences within that, too. Can you tell us some of the things that have happened?
I have been able to sing with the Billy Taylor Jazz Combo. I sing with the top ensemble there. So it's all good things. I'm in my third year, and I'm looking forward to many more things to come.
And I think you've had an incredible experience singing with an orchestra.
Yes, ma'am. That was a few years back when I was in middle school. I sang as a soloist with the Virginia Symphony Orchestra when I still lived in Virginia. So that was a very incredible opportunity that I was blessed to have been afforded.
I would say, what an opportunity. Good for you. Thinking about that shy little baby girl, it's hard to imagine you in an auditorium singing in front of a full orchestra, but it just makes me so proud of you and so pleased with what you've allowed the Lord to help you become. It's just almost miraculous, and it's wonderful.
Yes.
I know that you have had some further experiences with Door of Hope past your very beginning. Tell us about some of the things that you've experienced. I think you've gone back several times, have you not?
Yes, ma'am. I went back with my family summer of fifth grade, and we just went back to visit Africa just in general, do a little bit of missions work, but we did visit the Door of Hope, and that was my first time going back there, and it was just incredible because I don't have very many memories from Johannesburg to go back to where I lived for so many years mm-hmm. and just feel right at home. So I told them, I promised them when I turned 18, because that's how old you have to be to volunteer there long term, that I would come back and spend the summer. So I did just that. And summer after I graduated from high school, I went back for a month and worked at Door of Hope Baby House 1. And then just this past summer, I decided to go back again, and I hope to keep going back.
Tell us what it's like to be a volunteer over there.
You know, people always ask me that question, but it really is an experience that you have to experience firsthand. Just seeing the women that work there every day and sacrifice their lives every day, just seeing the love that they have for the children. And though it's hard work, it's so rewarding being able to watch the children grow up in such a small span of time and seeing them meet those milestones and knowing how much farther they have to go and knowing that they now have the hope to continue to grow and to continue to walk and learn, you know, that is rewarding in itself. I know that I was one of those children, and now all the opportunities that I've been able to have, they're only possible because of the love and the prayers and the support of the people who work at the Door of Hope as well as the people who support the Door of Hope.
Now, some of those aunties, as they call the ladies who are there taking care of the babies and loving on them, some of them have been there long term, have they not?
Yes, ma'am. It was really cool, especially this summer, to go back and work with some of the aunties and have them tell me stories of when I was a baby. I think that's incredible because there's, you know, thousands of babies that have gone through the Door of Hope program. So for them to remember stories of when I was a baby and little things that I used to do when I was little, it just really shows you how much they love each and every child, because it's not just me. I was the first baby, but it's not just me. They remember each and every child.
I have so many memories of our time there, although it was very brief. It was so meaningful. And my late husband, Norm, he thought the world just began and ended with you. He was so determined that he was going to make you smile. And he turned himself inside out and upside down, trying to get a smile out of you. And finally, the last day, he got a little grin, and you would have thought he won the lottery. He just was so pleased. But he was so taken with the way that you were so hesitant with adults, so very cautious, and yet you would sit on the floor. You were just maybe a little over a year old at that time. You would sit on the floor with the babies and mother them. You would pat, them. You would smooth their little heads. You just had this earth mother quality about you that was so appealing. And it just doesn't surprise me at all to see you flourishing and becoming an incredible woman of God.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with our guest host, Cher Nelson. She'll continue her conversation with Georgina right after this.
When everything is right, God says, go. When God says go, His presence goes with you.
My father was a radio broadcaster. He actually started the ministry that we have. He, in essence, passed it down to me, and we've been able to carry it forward. Although we have now changed the focus of the program from essentially devotional now to much more in terms of the global mission of the church, what God is doing around the world, and bringing back those stories.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
Yesu azaliwa na bisho. залева, эва, Иисуса залева, на бесов. Иисуса залева, эва, Иисуса залева, эва, Иисуса залева, на бесов.
Celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting, this is Compassion Radio.
You were so hesitant with adults, so very cautious, and yet you would sit on the floor. You were just maybe a little over a year old at that time. You would sit on the floor with the babies and mother them. You would pat them. You would smooth their little heads. You just had this earth mother quality about you that was so appealing. And it just doesn't surprise me at all to see you flourishing and becoming an incredible woman of God. Some of the others that were there at that time have also been adopted. We have had the privilege of contacting a few others. Some of the families don't stay in touch with Door of Hope, and Door of Hope is not allowed to contact the family if the family doesn't stay in touch. So some of the ones that we're so curious about, we aren't able to know, but we know that they got great Christian families. But tell us if you think it's equally important, more important, less important for the babies to be adopted by European or American families, or whether it's better for them to be adopted in South Africa by Christian families?
I think it really depends. Any family that the Door of Hope adopts to has been highly vetted,
mm-hmm.
and it's ensured that that family is going to raise that child to the best of their ability in the best situation possible. I think that adoption to the U.S. through the Door of Hope is actually closed right now.
Yes, it is.
But I think that adoption to Europe is beautiful. They have amazing school systems over there. I think that's great. But it's also amazing to be able to stay in touch with their African roots.
Mm-hmm.
So I think regardless of if a child gets adopted outside of the country or into the country, they're going to have a good shot to be raised right and raised in a family who's going to teach them about God's love.
Mm-hmm. The reason I ask, honey, is because one of the goals from the beginning was to have more of the babies adopted by Christian families in South Africa, to be raised to know the Lord, to serve the Lord, to be well-educated, and perhaps able in this next generation to have an effect on the government and the general health of South Africa itself. Such leaders are needed so desperately there. And I think perhaps the Lord is closing the door to some of the international adoptions in order to be able to keep some of those children there where they can have an incredible influence as God guides them and opens doors for them.
Yes, you know, the political climate in South Africa is very rough right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the up and up, but there's definitely a lot that can be done. And I think keeping the babies in South Africa will help that, just because the babies that come out of there, you know, each one is unique. Adopting them to, you know, these beautiful Christian families, it helps because they will give them these opportunities, like the opportunities that I've had to follow their dreams. You know, maybe some will go into politics, maybe some will go into missions throughout South Africa, but the babies don't get adopted, then they might not have that chance that they would have had otherwise.
That's true, except for something new that's happening with Door of Hope. And I think that you were able to view it and learn to understand it. And I wish you would tell us a little bit about what you know about the Village of Hope.
Yes, ma'am. The Village of Hope is a beautiful project that they've recently started construction on. Adoption in South Africa is on the decrease while abandonment is on the increase.
Hmm.
So a lot of the time families want to adopt babies who are young and who don't have that trauma, mm-hmm. parte of, you know, abandonment and that sort of thing. So after a baby reaches a certain age, the likelihood of them being adopted decreases substantially. And the Door of Hope didn't want to just put these children into the system because, you know, we say here in America that our foster care system, our child care system is not the best.
No.
But in South Africa, it's so much worse. And those children just get lost.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing is they're building a Village of Hope, which will allow those kids the opportunity to grow up in a small family situation where a Christian family will take in up to 6 kids and live in a house on the property. And then they also will have school care, you know, church, and all of those types of things there on the village, so that those kids can grow up in a safe environment. You know, they say it takes a village to raise a child. So that's what they're trying to accomplish with the Village of Hope.
We are so excited about that, because these kids who are not adopted will actually feel like they are, even though legally they can't be. They will live in a home with a set of Christian parents for their entire life, if necessary. Definitely through their graduation, through either going on to university or beginning a trade, it will be their home, their family, their community. And I just think the concept is so important and so great. Unfortunately, when we had Village of Hope as a project, our people didn't quite understand the concept, I think. Somehow we weren't able to touch hearts deeply enough to have the same response to that as we've had to saving the babies. And I'm hoping that your explanation and your confirmation of it will touch hearts, that maybe we can do that again.
Yes, like the Village of Hope is so important because we don't want those kids to get lost in the system. After, you know, 2 or 3 years of loving on those children, we want to be able to see it through and see that they get the best chance that they can.
I totally agree with you. Well, honey, you're studying in a fascinating area. You're in music with a concentration in jazz. Tell us how you expect to use this in your future.
You know, I definitely want to do this performance thing.
Good.
I'd like to see the world. I also am really interested in teaching. You know, I have definitely noticed that I have a thing for nurturing people who are younger than me. And
it started early.
Yes, ma'am. So I'd like to be able to one day maybe open up my own vocal studio and be able to teach. I think it'd be very cool to be able to open a vocal studio maybe in a community full of people who are less fortunate.
Mm.
One of my professors is from D.C., and he was in a music program when he was growing up, and he said it kept him off the streets.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's very important. I think music is a very powerful tool that can be used in many ways and can spread, you know, a good message and can help kids stay on the right path.
That's wonderful. You're absolutely right. I'm sure you've seen stories about both choirs and orchestras coming out of slum areas in various countries around the world that have just totally revolutionized lives and done marvelous things, even places where they have to make their own instruments out of scrap material. It's amazing what music can do for the soul once a person has an opportunity to participate in it. And besides that, your interesting concentration in jazz, I think, can be incredibly important because so few Christians are involved in the jazz field. And I just think you being there, shining your light and being Jesus to people is such a ministry. I really encourage you to find a way to be salt and light in that world. God needs you. Thank you, Georgina.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Compassion Radio with our guest host, Cher Nelson. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.